Greetings of love once more from the island of Maui. It's another picture postcard day on the island. Billows of white about 60 feet long are breaking on the shore. The sky is blue way up to the horizon. And on the lawn out in front of the ocean, there's a golden plover, a long-legged bird which flies in from Alaska every year at this time. It would be very easy to accept this as God's paradise. But actually, we must recognize that it is only world thought. And you will see why, as you go along now in the study this year, to attain the highest degree. There have been many letters since Mount Hood 6 months ago. Some from people who weren't even there who heard the tapes. And the general tone is one of, we have come a long way. Even the nature of the letters has changed over this period. We used to have all kinds of problems in the letters. Now people are talking about self-fulfillment, attaining true illumination. Oh, they write about problems every now and then, but the nature of even that has changed. For example, one woman wrote, phoned just the other day, and she was mad at herself because she had a problem. Previously, she had written about how wonderfully things were going, and there were some intimate comments about her family relationships changing. She even said, one day my husband said to me, my, I feel so wonderful. And she remarked, what he didn't know was that privately I had been practicing that he is the Christ. I find a great reassurance in the nature of these letters and in the expressions of spiritual presence that have come through them. It's as if we were being prepared for something far greater than we have ever hoped to attain. When I see these waves outside this window here, I'm reminded of Joel. You know, just 500 yards from this spot where I am now, in the 60s, there was a tidal wave that demolished many homes. These same waves that are so beautiful and blissful now were very angry then. That never occurred when Joel was on this island for a 10-year period. And that to me is very significant. The emphasis now is on what may be called the highest level of the third degree. We're over the level of problems. You can still write me about your problem or phone. But for those of you who are now in this work to attain the ultimate level of consciousness that is possible on this earth, there are no problems. We must move now into the last phase of this third degree. And so our destination is the ocean of spirit, where there are no problems. Symbolically, the little street, the one block street right outside this house where we live, is called Kealakai. And it means in Hawaiian the path to the ocean. And for us it means the path to the ocean of spirit. Our goals for 1977 are specific, and they have been announced to you. We are converting from form to essence. It is our function on this earth to manifest the divine presence. So we must learn to move consciously in the unconditioned universe. And we must develop our innate spiritual capacity to survive independent of the physical body. I hope you share these goals. If you do, you are invited to participate in a most unique experience. If you do not, I would suggest that this work at this particular point is not for you. And don't be ashamed if you feel that way. Because we are going to make many demands upon ourselves in the months to come. We're going to have new experiences, new areas of consciousness, and let's face it, we're going to have many frustrations. And this will be because as we let go of our control, as we yield, as we refuse to exercise human will, we're going to fly blind into the unknown. Even learning how to do that without the use of our sense mind. You may get to feel like a ship without a rudder. And I wish we could avoid these sinking feelings, but there's no way. You've got to go through them. You've got to go through it alone, and even feeling sometimes that you've been abandoned. But that is how you learn. In matter of fact, I would like you to try an experiment which I consider very important. It will give you a confidence that you may or may not possess at this moment. Find yourself between now and Easter. Find yourself a place that is dark, pitch dark, and go there sometime in the middle of the night, or between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. Go there and be still. It could be someplace in your house, but even more preferable would be someplace that you're not quite familiar with. At least a place where you've never been in the dark. And when you go there and sit in the dark and close your eyes, you will find that the world is not there. At first you may have some trepidation about who is outside where you are. Is there an animal prowling or a person? Things of that nature. But as you realize your identity, there in the pitch dark, a peace will come to you from another realm. In one moment you'll be wondering, why do I feel this strange way? You want to grab onto something. You wish someone were near to talk to. And then you will adjust to the silence, to the emptiness, to the loneliness, almost to the nothingness. And when this peace descends, you will know that another consciousness is taking over. And from that will come a great confidence a great oneness. It's almost as if you realize that I am the only being in the universe. That awareness you will take with you into everything you do later that day, and I might say forever. Please try it. The elements that are important are total pitch darkness at a time of day when you normally would not be up, when the world is totally away and asleep, and preferably in a place that you're not too familiar with, so that you can feel the strangeness of it when you first sit down. And later, perhaps, I will be able to tell you why this exercise was so important. If, when you do it, between now and Easter, you experience something very unusual and care to write me about it, I would be very happy to hear from you about it. In some cities in the United States, they are now recovering from a sub-zero cold wave that swept the country. It was unexpected. It caught the country by surprise. It really shook everyone up. But for you and me, certain questions were raised. That are of the utmost importance. And unless you understand precisely what this catastrophe means to you and your spiritual integrity, you may not make the progress that you should make. I'd like you to think for a moment of a dream that you had. Maybe any dream will do. A dream in which there were people moving around, saying things, doing things, and other people reacting to these people. So that everything that was happening in the dream was an action and a reaction. There were feelings of joy and feelings of pain, feelings of fear, feelings of suspense, perhaps. And always in your dream, when someone hurt himself, he did something about it. If he fell, he bandaged his foot. And if he saw an automobile speed down the highway, he heard the sound of the motor. And if you were in a crowd and someone waved to you, you heard your name called out, and you saw the hand waving. And then you went to that person in the crowd. When you awoke, you discovered that all of this had been happening in your sleep. In other words, it hadn't happened. What was it? It was thought, was it not? Nothing but human thought. Every sound you heard was not a sound at all. It was a thought in your mind. And every fear you felt was not an actual fear. It was a thought in your mind. The pains were not actual. They were thoughts in your mind. Even the things you touched in a dream, you didn't touch them. They were thoughts in your mind. The entire dream was made of your own thought substance. And this is the point. Not one single thought was voluntary. Your entire dream was made of involuntary thought. Now suppose, instead of a dream, that same involuntary thought could work on you while you were awake. Suppose while you were walking this earth with your eyes wide open, involuntary thought could control your life just as it did while you were in the dream. Would you like that? Wouldn't you feel that this is slavery? All right. Now let's go back to the cold wave, the blizzards, the freezing temperatures in cities all through the country just several weeks ago. Did you connect any of that with involuntary thought? If not, let's do it now. Did God send a blizzard? Did God close the schools and the factories? Did God put millions of people out of work? Did God shut off the flow of natural gas? Did God freeze the motorists to death behind the wheel? Who did? If God is the only creator, and God did not create the catastrophe and the events within the catastrophe, why did we experience them? You are a student of spirit. And presumably you have accepted the allness of spirit. And now you must face the fact that this cold wave which swept the country, closing schools and factories, putting people out of work, freezing people to death, was involuntary thought. Happening through people while they were awake with their eyes wide open. Group thought. Group hypnotism. God is not the creator of disasters. And yet we had a national emergency. They called out the National Guard. The Red Cross moved in with supplies. They even had to close down the churches who were worshiping God or their concept of God. But God was not in that scene. And everything that happened in thought because man is separated from God. There was no lack of heat. The lack was not heat at all. There was something lacking in the consciousness of man. It's the same thing that was lacking in China. The same thing that caused the earthquake that killed almost 700,000 Chinese. And it's the same thing that was lacking in Rhodesia when the rioters killed 7 missionaries and the nuns. If God is omnipresent, omnipotent, how can these things happen in the presence of God? The answer must be a turning point for you and for me. A new landmark in our path to the ocean of spirit. So please hear it now. Understand it. Learn how to refuse to walk by. Because this truth is the backbone of our new consciousness. Involuntary world thought is the cause of every disaster on earth. Now, you're not going to be able to tell that to the government of China. They wouldn't believe us if we told them that involuntary group thought caused the great earthquake which buried almost 700,000 of their people. You can't tell this to the farmers in California who are experiencing a drought. I don't think you could tell it now to the leaders of the nations of the world. If you said to them, war on earth is the appearance of involuntary world thought, they would not know what you are saying. The world has not known that the Bible has been saying just this for 2,000 years. But you must know it. If you're to fulfill the goal set for this year. And you must even know more than this. You must know the hard truths that we cannot say in open forums. And perhaps when you hear some of them, you will want to turn away. You must know that every physical form on earth is made of involuntary world thought. You're going to have to take that into consciousness many times, perhaps, before you can accept it. But unless you do, the meaning of rebirth can never be clear. You must learn in your active consciousness that involuntary world thought is the substance of this entire material universe. There are no objects. They are world thought. There are no forms, no actions, no sounds. And there are no problems. They are all thought. World thought that becomes your individual thought. When you see a disaster and know that God did not put it there, what are you really seeing? You are seeing thought. It never gets outside your head. You are seeing paralytics, leukemia victims, alcoholics, drug addicts. But none of them were created by the only creator. Then what are you seeing? You are seeing world thought. Brought down to the level of individual thought. And then you see innocent children and dear old ladies dying in hospitals. Is that God's creation? Finally, you must confess. Involuntary world thought creates the images of this world. And then also destroys those images. 2,000 years have gone by and nobody has listened to a word that Paul said. Oh, they quote him in many things. But we plan to liberate ourselves from this world thought. We plan to liberate our neighbor. And therefore, today we're going to face up to Paul's statement. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Well, we received a disaster, but it wasn't a thing of God. And now go all the way, there's nothing we receive in this world that is of God. Because we are the natural man. Whoever is born of a woman and a man is the natural man. Every human being on earth is born of man and woman. And so Paul's statement actually means the human race receiveth not the things of God. Just by being born into humanhood, an individual is deprived of the things of God. And so a person can go to a seminary and learn how to be a religious teacher, or a missionary, or a nun, and still not receive the things of God, because he's still the natural man. Or you can be an honest businessman and still not receive the things of God. You can be a scientist striving to benefit humanity and still the things of God cannot reach you. This is hard to accept, isn't it? Hard to believe. And so nobody does accept it. Nobody does believe it. We go right on as the natural man, living on natural lives, even believing that God is going to send us some good things. But the hourglass of time runs out on us. We receive the things of God when we are no longer the natural man. If you cannot receive the things of God, how can you manifest the divine presence? How can you experience divine harmony, divine intelligence, divine reality, if you remain the natural man? And how can you walk in the eternal kingdom if you are that natural man who receiveth not? And still there was something even deeper that Paul was trying to say, a vital secret. The natural man is world thought. That is his substance. His heart, his brain, every bone in his body is formed of world thought. That's why the natural man receiveth not the things of God. It's also why the natural man never attempts to overcome world thought. He is that which must be overcome. That's because his form is an image in mind. The real substance of his real body is God's substance. But he lives in this world thought body, and that is why Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Behind the world dilemma of mankind is this unknown fact. It is the mystery of all human life that has eluded the philosophers and the historians, the scientists and the theologians. And it is the one basic cause of the unsolved problems in our world. It would be wonderful if we could tell this to the human race, but at the moment, that is hopeless. It has to go out fighting its battles that aren't there. It is committed to move in this direction away from God. It has a natural mind, and it is committed to using this natural mind, which receiveth not the things of God. That is why, in spite of all the effort man has made to solve problems during the past 5,000 years, our world today is still filled with thousands of old and new problems, all unsolved. And religion still does not see why we are not receiving the things of God. Now, you might think that when a natural man strives to be good or holy or a benefactor of humanity, that he might come out of his naturalness. But instead, he doesn't. He still finds himself facing one crisis after another. And that is because the creator of the problem and the victim of the problem are both made of the same counterfeit substance. Involuntary world thought. There's a word for that. When a person is in such a condition, and doesn't know he's in such a condition, and continues in that condition, even though a solution has been provided for him that would liberate him from it, well, how would you describe such a person? Insane would be accurate. Hypnotized would also be accurate. And it's quite clear to me that Paul was telling us that the natural man is hypnotized. So hypnotized that he does not receive the glory of divine life which is all around him. He does not receive the attributes of God, which are his for the asking. Instead, he is imprisoned, using only his own limited mental resources, thrashing around in his make-believe lifespan, in his make-believe conditions, in his make-believe material laws, pouring his effort out into dying projects, fighting battles that are all imaginary, always reaching for shadows of human existence, and failing, especially because he thinks he can succeed. One fact I have never heard pointed out ever, anywhere. Is that when Jesus left this world, he took nothing with him. And do you know why? What was there to take? You can't take involuntary world thought with you. The same is true about you and about me. What are you going to take with you when you leave this world? Only your consciousness. There's nothing here you can take. And as a matter of fact, there's nothing you can leave behind you. Because whatever you cannot take with you when you leave this world has no existence. All you can leave behind are the illusions of the natural man. World thought is like a straitjacket. Try to fight it with world thought. With your mind, you can't win. I think that's what John had in mind when he called world thought the dragon in his revelation. It appears to be overpowering, insurmountable, unstoppable. And it really is, if you rely on human methods. If you use your own human judgments about what is right or wrong, your own human will and determination, you find that world thought just swallows you up. And the more you have human ambition, the easier it is for this dragon of world thought to make you its victim. And so now I think that most of us have been alerted to the trap of ambition. Human success is no longer our goal. We have discovered a magic realm called consciousness. And every time we attain this magic realm of consciousness, some degree of the hypnotism of the natural man is dissolved, and a new man is born. Our destination now is pure consciousness. And on our way, we must enter the first heaven, which is directly above world thought. I know it's possible to attain that level. You have been in it. I have been in it. The problem is how to stay in it. And I know it's possible to stay in it, because if it were not, there'd be no reason for the Bible to teach us how to be reborn of the Spirit. If you wish to enter the first heaven when you depart from this earth, from this world consciousness, it should be clear to you that you must learn how to live in the first heaven now. Because it is present, and if you learn how to live in it here and now, your transition will be a continuation of living in the first heaven. If you are living in the world at the point of death, you won't make a transition into heaven. You'll continue in the world. You will continue where you are. And so it would be wise to spend the remaining years of your life on earth learning how to live in the first heaven. It's a difficult preparation, but it makes much more sense than knocking our brains out to achieve that nothingness called success. Now, naturally, you're going to try to do this with your human mind, and that's the first mistake. You cannot. The mind that does not receive the things of God cannot learn how to live in the first heaven. And so if we were to try to do this with a human mind, we merely remain in a state of hypnosis and never receive the permanent things of God. I think you can see this clearly when you listen with the inner ear to the words spoken by Christ. He says to a woman healed of an issue of blood, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." to a paralytic. He says, arise, pick up thy bed, and go unto thy house. To a man with dropsy, he says, stretch forth thy hand. Now, to the natural mind of man, these people are suffering. They're in pain. They're deformed. And so with the natural mind, that is all we can accept, because we cannot discern something else that is there, the things of God. In your new consciousness, you overcome this hypnotism by rejecting the evidence of that natural mind. You bring into play a new faculty, a discerning faculty that looks directly into the kingdom of God on earth. And you can find that discerning faculty when you refuse to trust your natural mind. Your transformation is from mind to consciousness. They are not the same. Mind is our efforts in the sense mechanism of this world. Consciousness is a level above mind, and it is the golden path to eternal life. It is liberation from the limitation of the mind and the body. You can't help it. Your natural mind believes that what is happening inside itself is happening outside. That's the nature of the human mind. And so its hypnosis is very complete. It creates your physical body within its own thought. Then it destroys that body. It creates your lifespan within its own thought. Then it destroys that lifespan. It creates an imaginary universe all within its own thought. Creates conditions in that universe which are as imaginary as the universe itself. And then it plants a false sense of self in the midst of this imaginary conditioned universe which you call you, a human. But that you is not God image. That you is not divine. That you is not the likeness of the Father. That you is not the Son of God. That's the natural man. That's the creature living, struggling within the conditioned universe of the mind, fighting problems after problems, disease after disease, condition after condition, always believing tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow Jesus may return. Tomorrow the ills of the body will disappear. Tomorrow perhaps a new scientific discovery will open new vistas of progress. Yes, this natural mind has really fooled us all. It even dazzles us with its ability to read the future and make great predictions about what will happen. But all the natural mind can read, whether it is a mind that has the sense of human prophecy or not, all it can read is the future of the imaginary world of conditions. For it is always the mind which receiveth not the things of God. We are going to ascend out of the natural mind and enter the realm of consciousness. We're going to ascend out of the conditioned world, and this transformation from mind to consciousness is possible only one way. If you intend to make your transition into consciousness, into the unconditioned universe where there are no cripples, no withered hands, no issues of blood, only divine manifestation, then you must make a commitment unto yourself that you will step outside the limitations of the natural mind. You must find yourself before the world mind converts your divine essence into a picture form called the human body. You must learn to see past the human pictures in your natural mind, into the first heaven. And this will release you from the imaginary conditions of that mind. Let me give you an example or two. Recently, in a meditation for a dear friend, I was presented with a picture of a different form than the form of that person. This form was made of gold. And the substance was not material. It wasn't liquid. It was between the two. It was a golden substance. And as I saw it, I knew the work was done. The report later came, and it said benign. What had happened there was that we had reached an inner contact beyond the human mind in the realm of consciousness. Consciousness is God. One with consciousness is the majority. Same thing happened with another friend who called me to help in another case, and the two of us meditated. I don't know what my friend received in the meditation, but I received a clearance beyond the level of the mind, and we both heard the words again, benign. These words were not heard in meditation. They were the result after we had entered the realm of consciousness. Now, these two cases were 1,500 miles apart. Both cases were at least 4,000 miles away from Hawaii. But they existed only in the world mind, in the mind which contains world thought. In consciousness, the perfect law of one infinite being replaced world thought. And the counterfeit material law of separate physical persons was dissolved. The point is that any student who breaks world hypnotism does it because he or she has gone beyond the human mind and has caught the great truth that only God can think. God is the only thinker, the only transmitter, and as long as human beings believe that they can think, They tune themselves out of the kingdom of God. Let us meditate, knowing the truth of being. I, the Spirit of God, am not the natural man. I am the Son of God, the light of God. The natural man is the false image of world thought, which each man accepts without the awareness that he is not that. I am not the natural man. I am the infinite Spirit of God. And all that the Father has, I have. I am the infinite life of God, the truth, the way, the resurrection. I live not within world thought, but am independent of world thought. Never separated from the Eternal Father. I am the Eternal Son of God. If you have caught the great vision that your natural mind is the barrier, we have accomplished something in these past 40 or 50 minutes. As long as human beings believe they can think, they continue to feed the false sense of life, the false sense of self. They live in world thought. And they are controlled by world thought, deceived by world thought, deceived into believing that they are making progress. You cannot break world hypnosis by any human method. That is why death continues, disease continues, disasters continue, lack and limitations continue, because the only way to break world thought is to enter the first heaven. The way to freedom is barred to anyone who lives in the human mind. The way is barred to presidents, to kings, to philosophers, to educators, to religious leaders, to scientists. The human race is barred from the first heaven. You enter this heaven only through obedience to God's terms. And those terms are proclaimed with absolute finality in the 5th chapter of the Gospel of John. These are the terms: for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. The natural man, the hypnotized human mind, does not receive the things of God because it cannot honor the Son of God. It prays to God on Sunday, and on Monday the schools, the churches, and the factories are closed because of a paralyzing sub-zero cold wave. The natural man dishonors the Son of God every day, and so dishonors the God that he thinks he loves, because he does not know that he must first honor the Son of God. Then it follows as the night the day that because he does not honor the Son, he does not honor the Father and does not receive the things of the Father. You and I are very close down. If you wish to enter the first heaven, you must honor the Son of God. There's no way to get around it. So please clear every doubt from your mind. The way to eternal life prescribed by Christ, the way to salvation, peace, fulfillment, the end of all tribulation, the way so glorious that God tells us through Christ, whoever honors the Son is passed from death unto life. That way is the way we will walk. This is the promise of God. Honor the Son, and you walk in heaven. I know your heart is sincere, and I know there is one question on your mind at this moment. Fine. I'll honor the Son. How do I do it? And there's one answer to that. That answer flashes across the infinite right into your heart right now, quicker than the speed of light. Be my Son. You can only honor the Son by being the Son. For only the Son can shatter the world dream. When you find your spot for the meditation in the pitch dark, when you have opened your eyes after the meditation, if you have felt the living presence, you will know at that moment what it feels like to be the Son of God. It's certainly not a five-sense man or woman or child. It's certainly not a you-man. Being the Son of God is what we really have all been looking for and yet turning away from. as if we're afraid to be such a wonderful thing. But unless you are, you dishonor God. Do you see what is happening? It may seem almost ridiculous to say that we will learn how to function independent of form, to convert form into essence, to live outside the body and the world, to survive death consciously. But doesn't the Son of God do all this? No human being can do it. That's why it sounds ridiculous. But the Son of God not only can do it, but has done it. Every one of our goals is already completed in the Son of God, which you already are. And all that stands between the realization that you are the Son of God and the experience of it is the world thought which functions through the natural man's natural mind. The only way to break it is to let the Son of God break it for you. Do you see what we've been driving at? You cannot see through world hypnotism. You cannot break it. But the Son of God can, and the only way you can let the Son of God do it is to be. Accept that that Son of God is your identity. Otherwise, you're in constant separation from God. For only the Son of God goes to the Father. You see it all clearly? That's the link. When you step beyond the natural mind, you are in a place where you lose control. And you're afraid to do it. But the Son of God has control. And your dark night of the soul is only in that period when you are becoming accustomed to the fact that you already are the Son. And it is your function to honor the Father in all your ways.